This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and did you know that the North Carolina A&T Visual and Performing Arts University Choir has performed twice in the White House for President Obama and his family? Well, it's true, and for good reason. Under the direction of conductor Travis Alexander, this incredible ensemble has become well-known for tackling a huge variety of repertoire, including classical, jazz, and pop music, and tackling it well. The choir will perform a dynamic holiday program this weekend in the Metropolitan United Methodist Church in Greensboro. 14 choristers of the 30-plus member A&T University Choir recently visited the WFDD studios to chat and sing for us live in Studio A. Well, I got to start with traveling and playing at the White House experience, and this is not just once but twice. What's that whole preparation process like to play for the president and family?
Well, it's quite grueling, and it was unexpected. The first invitation was totally unexpected.
How did it come about?
I still do not know. I just got a call on my cell phone, and they said it was the White House, and I hung up because I thought it was a student playing a trick on me. And they called again the next day, and I said, you got to show me some proof. And then they sent something on email, and they told me a few things, and then I realized it really was the White House.
Wow. Now, I know that the Obamas were big into North Carolina, or still are. They like this neck of the woods, but obviously, beyond that, you have an excellent program. And since then, have you any indication as to why they selected the group?
No, even when she came back to do the graduation last year and we sang for her, she met with us personally before she would go out on the stage to give the commencement address. She wished us well. She thanked us for coming. But still, there was still no clue on why we were asked other than we were a solid group and had done some great things. And so we're happy to be a part of it. And it was for Black History, so that was more poignant for us to sing Negro spirituals. And we did classical as well, jazz, little blues, and gospel, all in the White House.
Nice mix. Were you all there?
Yes. Did
you? Okay, well, I got to go around the room and get the student take on this. Beginning with you, Stacey, tell me about that experience. What was it like, and what stands out in your memory?
The whole experience was very surreal. Like he said, it was very unexpected, and the whole process, like he said, was very grueling. A lot of auditions, a lot of extra rehearsals and everything. So just the whole process that, like, I'm actually standing inside of the White House singing, you know, what I love to do. It was just an amazing experience.
When you think back on that experience, what images come to mind?
Just the whole house, the piano that Mr. Alexander did play on, all of the pictures, all of the just the memories that, you know, was in that house. They have, of course, pictures of every president and everything that's, you know, that's in that's inside of the house. It was breathtaking, honestly.
And I'll throw that your way, too, Jasmine. I mean, you probably had, as anyone would, some preconceptions as to what that experience would be like once you're there. How did it compare, and what stands out in your memory?
Well, when we got there, we couldn't take pictures or anything, but we worked really hard for it. It was something like we were really excited to do. And I always will remember standing outside, and we're all like really excited, like giggly to go inside. But at the same time, we have to keep our composure to, you know, be professional. And when we went inside, we just took it all in because you couldn't take a picture. You just had to really like look for yourself. You had to look around and basically keep those in your mind. And then there was, like she said, a lot of pictures of like famous people and people that we study, like Leontine Price, pictures of her singing, you know, in the White House. And that's big for us. Right. It was really big for us.
The great soprano from the 1950s and 60s, famed singer and revered. What a voice. Well, thanks for sharing your all's memories there. And I want to get one from James as well. Tell me what, what was the best part of that trip from your perspective?
The best part of the trip to the White House the first time was going actually into the building. There were some situations where we weren't sure if we were going to make it in. But walking into the building, going down into the holding area, and just soaking in all of the famous artists who had frequented the building, seeing the signatures and the autographs all over the wall, the pictures, and being in the same room as some of the people that we hear on the radio, some of the people that we attend their concerts, being in the same room where they were was breathtaking. And we couldn't speak a lot because we were preparing to perform. But there were many tears, a lot of people crying, just taking in the experience. I'm tearing thinking about it. It was breathtaking, just an amazing opportunity.
Mm. What does that do to you as a performer?
First, it's humbling. I became very humble immediately. That's hard for me to do sometimes. But I became very humble in that moment, just to be in that space, in that particular time, having done all of the hard work and all of the preparation.
Yeah. And when you look back on that experience, I mean, drawing from that moving forward then, how does that impact you as a performer?
It just makes me want to work hard and, you know, continue to, like, do classical music and not just the stuff that we hear on the radio. You know, we did so much in the White House. It was different genres all over. We didn't just do one. And that, like, really made me want to be able to sing everything, like, for the rest of my life, pretty much. I loved it.
What a great experience. Speaking of the repertoire, though, when you're putting together these programs, what sorts of considerations do you have? I mean, we've just heard a tremendous variety here.
And this is just like an ensemble that I pulled yesterday from the choir. So the choir is, of course, twice this size, or if not three times. Basically, I have to consider the occasion. I have to consider what voicing I'm working with. Each semester, we have a different group of students, and especially every year, it may change. Students graduate. Right now, I have a whole new group of students minus these four or five. And so I have to consider that. Do I have more men? Do I have ladies? And what repertoire would fit best with the voicing that I have to work with, as well as their ability?
Now, and you are one, a strong believer in pairing the Negro spiritual with classical music, with contemporary and pop music.
Most definitely.
Why is that important?
Well, because the Negro spiritual is American music. This is the contributions that African Americans have made to America. And so it should stand right up there with Verdi and anybody else, because these composers who arranged these spirituals were trained. They went to Ivy League schools and got their education. Not all of them went just to Howard. They went to Eastman and Juilliard and places, very talented musicians. And they arranged it in a European style, still keeping the African idiom. So it is great classical music. And I always pair that music with, of course, the core repertoire, as well as pop, because we have to reach everybody. And that's a form, but everything must be done well, whether it's jazz, whether it's gospel. We use the same care with those genres as we do Verdi or William Grant Steele.
Mm. And, of course, one of the great arrangers in that realm of the spiritual is Moses Hogan.
Of course.
Well, I happen to know she have a choir with you today. Will you treat us to a number? What are we going to hear today?
Sing to the Spirit moves in my heart, one of his more popular spirituals, especially among the college and the high school choirs.
Moses Hogan, and this is the North Carolina A&T Visual and Performing Arts University Choir.
I'm going to sing till the Spirit moves in my heart. I'm going to sing till the Spirit moves in my heart. I'm going to sing till the Spirit moves in my heart. I'm going to sing till Jesus comes. I'm going to sing
all my Jesus.
I'm going to sing till the Spirit moves in my heart Moses Hogan arranges the great Negro spiritual, and that is, once again, the North Carolina A&T Visual and Performing Arts University Choir, directed by Travis Alexander. And we've got Jasmine Boone, James Thomas, and Stacey Lyles with us here in the studio following that great performance. I've seen great performances of Negro spirituals in performance in the church, and this is one of those. I get goosebumps. What do you all feel when you're singing this great music? I'll throw it your way first.
Pretty much the same as you. Goosebumps. It makes me feel good inside. It's something that I want to dance, but I know that I can't. So I guess you could say that I'm kind of dancing with my voice. It's so much fun just to sing. I really like singing spirituals.
I should say that was Jasmine to start off with. Stacey, how about yourself? I guess I would wonder how you rein in those emotions and are able to project and do all the things vocally that you're supposed to do with all that emotion going on. But what's it feel like?
It feels like I'm conveying the message, you know, what the composer wanted to convey. And especially if it's done correctly, you know, you can move somebody to want to say, oh, yeah, that was done very, very well. And so that's what I want to do when I sing. I want to make sure that I convey everything that the composer wanted to happen.
This is an off-perform work, but it's not easy. And I'm wondering what the challenges are from your perspective. And by the way, some really strong male voices to balance out the powerful soprano section, which was refreshing to hear.
Thank you, sir. It's reflective. I like to try to tap into the mind of a Negro in the slavery times and try to communicate with the other choir members and use the spiritual as a means of communication. So speaking to each other, I'm going to sing till the spirit moves in my heart. Let it move from heart to heart and from breast to breast and kind of communicate it that way. And hopefully doing that, the message will come off clearly to the audience.
That is something that's so, you finally put into words something that I either feel in the audience or do not. It's either a disconnected performance or we're all on the same page. We're all in this together. And that sort of communication really came through in your all's performance. From the conductor's podium, Mr. Alexander, how do you get that out? How do you bring that out in performance?
Practice. Habitually doing things over and over to get the phrases the way I want them. Because if you're singing, sing to the spirit moves in my heart, the music must have rhythmic drive. It must be spirited. The diction must be clear because the Negro spiritual must be heard and understood. And bringing out, in that spiritual, it has move, moving, moving. And it goes from the tenor to the alto to the soprano. And the bass is sort of like the church person urging it on, can't you feel it moving? And so I've used the analogy of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, moving from heart to heart and breast to breast, and each individual was filled with the Spirit at a different time, but then it all came together. So that's how we approach that section of the moving part that starts out in Divisi but ends up in one big collaboration.
Let's move into the holiday spirit with Torches by Thomas Matthews. Well, you need some strong male voices to bring this off.
You do need some strong male voices. It's a lovely piece. He's not a well-known composer. He was around New York area, around the Union Theological School of Music, where a lot of his colleagues were attending there for graduate schools and choral music. And so it's a beautiful piece. It goes through a lot of changes in a short period of time. It has the ladies sort of on a lullaby while the guys take the lead and then vice versa. It ranges in dynamics from pianissimo to fortissimo. Just a lovely little piece all about going to see the newborn king. Bring your torches all the way to Bethlehem.
All right. All that wrapped up in one nice little 3-minute piece. Let's hear it live in Studio A. This is the North Carolina A&T Visual and Performing Arts University Choir. Torches by Thomas Matthews.
Oh,
That was Torches, performed by the North Carolina A&T Visual and Performing Arts University Choir, music by Thomas Matthews. And talk about that rehearsal process. I want to hear from the students' perspective. They've got to go through this rather challenging process. How long are the rehearsals? And talk me through, how does it typically work?
Rehearsals, we rehearse every day of the week at 1 o'clock. Because that's our class meeting time. And then afterwards, we'll have an extra rehearsal from about 5 to 6:15. And sometimes if we need, we'll get sectionals going during the day. And we just kind of, you know, work on the pieces one by one, section by section. And then next thing you know, it's all coming together. We don't necessarily start from the beginning of a piece. We just work in sections and it comes together.
Stacey, put it in perspective, because you're taking classes at the same time and extracurricular stuff. I mean, how do you balance it all? How do you juggle all those things?
It's all about time management. You know, you definitely have your courses and you have your lessons. You have your classes. Some you have to eat. You have to sleep. Sleeping definitely is a luxury in college. But the rehearsal schedules, it's very demanding. But in the end, you definitely reap what you sow.
The proof is in the pudding, and we just heard it right here, live in Studio A. And now, for the larger work on the program, this is a piece that brings transparent writing, 2D writing, soloists, I mean, the whole male chorus, female chorus. Tell me about the piece, first off. This is an exciting one.
The piece is based on a hymn arranged by David Clydesdale, How Great Thou Art. It's a familiar hymn, I think, that's kind of ecumenical. And I found this arrangement not long ago, and I did it with my church choir in Charlotte, and we got such rave reviews, and I had a few students to sing with me in that performance, and they asked me to bring it and use it with the university choir, because that's not typically a piece I would choose for the choir. And they love it. And so we've performed it, and it goes through all of its paces, from having a soloist, from having divided choirs, from the tutti to starting out a big instrumental interlude with big crashing chords for the pianist. So it's a workout for everybody.
All right. Well, let's work out. Live in Studio A, the North Carolina A&T Visual and Performing Arts University Choir, directed by Travis Alexander. And this is How Great Thou Art, arranged by David Clydesdale. The North Carolina A&T Visual and Performing Arts University Choir. We heard from director Travis Alexander and from choir members James Thomas, Stacey Lyles, and Jasmine Boone. Together with the rest of their peers, first semester freshmen to graduating seniors, they'll sing a holiday concert Sunday night, December 8th at 4 o'clock in the Metropolitan United Methodist Church in Greensboro. The performance is free and open to the public, so audience members from all across the Triad can hear for themselves why the A&T University Choir has been invited to perform not once, but twice at the White House in Washington, D.C. You'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend.